Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Glad to be in studio. As always, the number to dial to get your questions answered, 888-ASK Hank, reducible numerically to 888-275-4265. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I want to mention something that's on my heart. It has to do with what I was reading in the newspapers today. And it reminds me that America's downward spiral continues. It's a spiral that is nothing short of staggering. You think back to the popularization of the pill in the 60s. That, of course, paved the way for the horror of Roe v. Wade in the 70s. Or think about the acceptance of same-sex sexuality in the 20th century. That mutated into the legalization of same-sex marriage in the 21st century. And now, and a lot of people aren't thinking about this, a total of 8 states, in other words, another 4 states, including California, Massachusetts, Nevada, have approved the recreational use of marijuana. In fact, a Gallup poll that was released back in August shows that the number of adults who smoke marijuana has nearly doubled in just 3 years. And in Denver, voters have now approved a first-in-the-nation law which allows willing bars and restaurants to give patrons the option to use marijuana alongside a cocktail or a meal. That's a dangerous elixir. And all of that amidst reports that suggest that marijuana can actually weaken heart muscles, particularly in young men. There's a study that was presented at the annual scientific conference of the American Heart Association in New Orleans, which actually underscored this very point. And Dr. Ann Bolger, who is a professor of clinical medicine and a spokeswoman for the American Heart Association, said it does give me some very appropriate worry that exposure to marijuana may not be as benign as some people seem to think it is. And of course, it isn't benign. Common sense is enough to tell you that. A variety of very well-documented psychophysical problems are part and parcel of partaking in what I like to call the puff. Psychological problems include diminished cognitive function and memory impairment. Physical maladies range from respiratory illness and cardiovascular disease to detectable alterations. And this is what I've often thought about as being pretty significant long-term. Detectable alterations in the structure and the chemistry of our brains. I mean, that's a serious issue. But there are occult dangers as well. So it's not just psychophysical dangers, as serious as that is. There are very real spiritual dangers. In China, you have Taoists who employ cannabis to connect with ancestors in the spirit world. It's all part and parcel of ancestor worship. In India, you have devotees who smoke ganja while they're making oblations to Shiva, the Hindu god. You have Sufis who use cannabis as a contrivance for all kinds of spiritual explorations. And even in the West, Rastafarians use the weed to indulge in spurious religious rituals. I was thinking about the Buddha when I was in Cambodia last weekend. You can see Buddhas clutching canisters of cannabis in all kinds of depictions, because it is thought that while achieving higher states of consciousness, discovering secret truths and so forth, the cannabis was a great aid in the process. Let me just put it real plainly. When people are smoking or eating pot, there's simply no objective way for them to control the dosages. And I don't think the real issues in terms of medical and psychological problems have been fully plumbed. A dosage of as little as 7 milligrams of THC can be an unwelcome gateway to spiritual and to psychophysical maladies that will continue to spiral lives into viral dives. And while it's true that the Bible does not specifically deal with smoking pot, its prohibition against intoxication applies. We're called to be stewards of both the physical and the metaphysical aspects of our humanity. In fact, when we get back from the second break today, my quote of the day will be from Solomon, and it deals with being careful in regards to both our bodies and the metaphysical aspects of our humanity. All of that coming up with the quote of the day today. It comes from Solomon. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I'm going right to your calls now. Joe first in St. Louis, Missouri. Joe is listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. Thanks so much for taking my call. I appreciate it. Really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I had a quick question for you, and then I'll sign off here. But basically, the gist of it is, what's your opinion, I guess, or advice on a denomination like the Presbyterian Church USA? I think maybe the United Methodist Church may apply, but basically, a church like the PCUSA, where they say, you know, well, we're basically going to leave the issue of gay marriage up to our individual, you know, churches within the denomination. How do you respond to something like that? And then by extension, what do you say to someone who's a member of that church, has, you know, loves their church, and their families have been a member of that church for generations? What's your advice?
Well, my advice is to look at the systemic problem. It's sort of like I was talking about in the opening monologue today. We have things that happened years ago that affect what's happening today. And that's why I mentioned that popularization of the pill in the 60s led somewhere. It was a pathway to the horror of Roe v. Wade in the 70s, or the acceptance of same-sex sexuality in the 20th century mutated into legalization of same-sex marriage in the 21st. So ideas have consequences, and they morph. And that's exactly what's happened in the case of a lot of these mainline denominations. They had the idea that modern society can't embrace concepts that have been repudiated by their standards, at least in the age of scientific enlightenment. So they got rid of the virgin birth, they got rid of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I think to the point of the question, they got rid of the infallibility of the biblical text, and therefore they demythologized it. They took the supernatural out of it. And now the Bible, therefore, for these congregations is no longer a reliable measurement for life and truth. And I think that's the real systemic problem here. The individual congregations, the church body as a whole, is saying, you know, the Bible is dated. It isn't really relevant to us today. And therefore, we're going to impose our particular paradigms on the biblical text. Now, again, the people that take that particular point of view are doing so in obscurantist fashion. In other words, these are people who do not know how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. And that's why they've demythologized it. They simply don't know how to read literature. And in this case, biblical literature. But if you read biblical literature in the sense in which it's intended, you have the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ himself, making certain points very, very plain. And one of those points involves the very issue that we're talking about here. We ought to subject ourselves to his positions as opposed to our own. And when we do not live within the parameters that he sets forth for us to live within and start making up our own paradigms, there's always a price to pay. So what happens is the leaders of these churches, the pastors and so forth, they look enlightened, but actually they're obscurantists, and they are putting their congregants in real danger. And so we should speak out, we should have our voice heard, and we have to make a decision. The decision is, does God want to leave me in this congregation so that I can be a leavening force, I can change the congregation, and perhaps marshal some kind of a trek into true biblical enlightenment, or do I simply recognize that my family ought not to be in the context of a church that is anything but healthy and well-balanced, and therefore you go find a church that doesn't have the pastor making up the rules, but rather is constantly unpacking the scriptures so people more clearly understand its precepts and principles.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for that. It's a real tough decision, and personally, we've started attending an evangelical Presbyterian church that more aligns with what we know the Bible to say. So I guess there are options out there, but thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. I think it's critical to be in a healthy, well-balanced church. There's no question there are options out there. I mean, we want a church in which we can worship God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the Word, where we experience oneness with other believers and where we're equipped to go out and impact the world. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mike next in Spokane, Washington, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hello. I was curious how use of marijuana is different than, say, the use of alcohol or caffeine, which are both mind-altering, especially with some of the new research on some of the health benefits and treatments of use of marijuana.
Well, this is the point. I mean, there's no debating the fact that if you indulge in alcohol in a promiscuous fashion, in other words, you get drunk on a continuous basis, I mean, there are consequences to that. So the overuse of wine, by the way, the overuse of eating, both are very detrimental to your health, no question. The same thing is true, as you point out, with respect to smoking. But I don't think we want to make this either-or dichotomy, because what I have pointed out, and I mentioned this even in the opening of the broadcast today, is that there are spokespersons for the American Heart Association who acknowledge that there are some very significant psychophysical problems associated with the use of marijuana. And we ought to take that seriously. Perhaps there are some reasons in which medical marijuana can be helpful. Still, there are a lot of questions about that that have to be ferreted out. But we're talking here about the recreational use of marijuana, which is on the rise. More and more states are permitting this. And I think that you have to look not only at the psychophysical problems, but the occult dangers that I mentioned, and also this idea of controlling the dosages of the psychoactive chemical that's in marijuana, because a little bit of THC can be an unwelcome gateway to spiritual and psychophysical maladies that continue to have a negative impact in the lives of people. So your point is well taken, but I don't think we want to say because there are dangers in one, we shouldn't be attendant to the dangers of the other. There are dangers in overindulging in wine, in beer, in hard drink. There are dangers in indulging in psychoactive chemicals as well. And I think they're very, very real. And I don't think we've even scratched the surface of what this is going to lead to in the future. I'll be right back with more answers.
The issue of origins, Hank Hanegraaff often says, is not just an apologetics issue, it is the apologetics issue, because how you view your origins will ultimately determine how you live your life. That's why for Christians weary of the arguments of scientific materialists, there's good news. Illustrum Media's new film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth, combines stunning photography and imagery with rock-solid science and scholarship to show that we are the products of an infinite intelligence beyond human fathoming, and far from accidental and purposeless. Receive Origin on DVD as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence. And beyond question, the evidence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book anti-hero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirect natural processes must come to grips with this reality. For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustrum Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. With spectacular animation and leading-edge research, Illustra Media's new film, Origin, examines a question that has baffled science for centuries. How did the first life arise at a moment in time when there was no life of any kind? It's common today to hear the claim that simple chemistry without direction or plan explains how life began. But the film Origin exposes the absurdity of such a claim and reveals a molecular universe of extraordinary biological engineering that points clearly to intelligence and mind. Receive Origin on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and all over the world, people are listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. How do they do that? Well, today we live in an age of technology and people have smartphones. All they have to do is they just download the Equip app, which you can do at equip.org. You download the app and you can listen to the broadcast on your smartphone. You can even listen to archived broadcasts. You can give in a safe, secure fashion all over the world, whether you're in Singapore or Hong Kong, where I was just 2 weekends ago, or whether you're in Cambodia, or whether you're in the United States, Canada, South America, all over the world, you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you don't have the app, it's free. Check it out again on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. Next up is Matt listening in Maryland, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. My question is, I'm just trying to understand in the Old Testament whenever the Lord appeared to people like Moses, Adam, and was in the most holy place in the tabernacle, just trying to get a better understanding of that. Was that the pre-incarnate Jesus? Was there an actual physical spirit that could be seen by Moses, by Adam? Could you kind of fill me in a little bit on how that works?
Yeah, spirits are not physical, but God, who is spirit, can take on physical form. And there are many examples throughout the Old Testament in which you see the angel of Yahweh, which is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, appearing to people. That's called a Christophany. There are also examples of the Father appearing. That would be called a Theophany. There are appearances of angels. That's called angelophanies. These are theological terms, of course, but they're describing the appearance of God in some kind of a physical manifestation. So when Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, he encounters God, but remember, he does not encounter God in his essence. We cannot know God in his essence. We can certainly know God through his graces, or some would say in his energies. He experiences a manifestation of God. How that manifestation occurred, we do not know. It's very much like, by the way, how we would talk about the economy of God in terms of how we experience God today. We don't experience God in his essence, but in his economy, we experience him. And we can't say that it's the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. We can say that we are experiencing the one triune God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. Now, that does not mean that we cannot speak with a center of consciousness within the Godhead. We can. We can pray to Jesus. We can communicate with the Holy Spirit. We can pray directly to the Father, as Jesus taught us to do. But the ultimate issue that I think a lot of people have to grapple with, and that is we cannot understand God in his essence. And many people create a God that is far too small and suppose that we can. We simply cannot. What Moses experienced on Mount Sinai is often referred to as the mysterium tremendum et fascinans. In other words, the mystery that causes one to tremble and yet attracts us. Moses not only trembled, as did Isaiah when he caught one glimpse of God, but Moses' face literally took on uncreated energy in such a way that when he came down from the mountain, his face had to be veiled. So I think it's important to realize that what is going on in the Old Testament before the incarnation of Jesus Christ is people are experiencing manifestations of God in various ways. Remember the fire that burned but was not quenched. You mentioned the presence of God, the Shekinah glory in the temple. Think about what happened with Abraham when the Lord and two angels appeared to Abraham there on the plain. What an incredible experience that must have been. But this, again, is a temporary manifestation of God because God does not, in terms of his essence, have physicality. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Teresa. She's listening in San Jose, California. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
You sound wonderful.
Well, I have a question for you. And my name is Theresa, but that's okay.
Theresa, sorry for butchering your name.
That's okay.
It's important.
My question is this. Oh, no, it's okay. My question is this. In the book of Malachi, 3:8-10, it talks about how will a man rob God, yet you rob me with your tithes and offering, you're under curse. And when I studied the book of Malachi, prior to Jesus dying, the priest used to take the money to the storehouse. And in the book of Malachi, the Levitical priest was over the priesthood, and they were allowing other priests to come in. The nation and the people were given bad tithes, and they were the one who was robbing. Because I asked myself this question, how can I, it indicates to me that if I miss my tithing, I'm under a curse. So I compare Deuteronomy 27 and 26, verse 26 with Galatians 3:10. And it said, cursed is any man, you know, who's under the law. And Jesus took the curse out of the law. And so that's my question. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in giving, and I don't think it even stops at a 10 for people who can afford it. Pressed down, shaken together, giving on a regular basis. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to the Lord what is the Lord. I believe in all of that. But I've always had that question.
Well, I don't know how you can say it any better than you just said it, by the way. I think just fantastic way of giving us an overview that we can expand on a little bit. I mean, what happened in the Old Testament was people gave. They gave not because there is an absolute necessity to give in and of itself, but rather they gave because in giving, they're demonstrating that they revere, as Moses said, the Lord their God always. So through giving, you are revering the Lord. There's another thing, and you allude to this. In the Old Testament, there are all these precepts and principles that ultimately point to a fulfillment, and that fulfillment is in Jesus Christ. He did what we could not do. I mean, no matter how much we give, we don't give perfectly, because it's not just the amount you give, but it's the intent of the heart as you give. So you just can't do all of it perfectly. Jesus comes, he takes the types and shadows, and he ultimately fulfills them. He doesn't abolish them, he fulfills them, he accomplishes them, and therefore we are released from the curse of the law, for Christ has become a curse for us. But you also very brilliantly talked about the fact in the prologue to your question that there is some parallel between what happened in the Old Testament and what happens today. Because as we give, we're revering the Lord our God always, a universal principle. And we're demonstrating in doing that that we cannot outgive the Lord, that his arm is far longer than our arm. And so we trust not in the arm of flesh, but rather in the arm of God. The New Testament principle, therefore, is not as much tithing, although, as has been well said, tithing can be the training wheels to other things, to giving in general, to stewardship. But that's the point. The point in the New Testament is stewardship, which is that we hold everything with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit. We never give in a legalistic, perfunctory way, because then we're doing it for the sight of men rather than for the pleasure of God. And when we give, why are we giving? I was just in Cambodia. I had a pocket full of money, or I had both U.S. dollars, which they take there, as well as Cambodian currency. So I had a pocket full of money, my left pocket. That's kind of how I always do it. And there are a lot of people that don't have arms and legs. They're begging in the street. They can hardly move themselves. You see people who are struggling in the worst way. And, you know, my habit is to, empty my pockets. The idea, of course, with many people is that these beggars have handlers and that the beggars don't even get the money themselves oftentimes. And I know, it didn't fall off the last truck that came through town, so I'm kind of wise to that, having traveled throughout Asia. But nonetheless, I feel a necessity to give as the Lord leads me. Now, that's just a small thing, but the idea is not to give in order to get. It is not to give because there's some kind of a law that we have to meet, but it's because we want to be pleasing to others. We want to follow the first and second great commandment. You know, there's one great commandment and a second like unto it. The first is to love God. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. So when you see someone in need, you have an opportunity to do something about it, you give. You also give to the God-ordained vehicle for missions, for worshiping God, for oneness, which is the church. So we give because we have been given. So again, stewardship is the New Testament principle. We hold everything with an open hand. And so often we relegate our giving just to, well, our treasure. But it's not just about your treasure. It's about your time and it's about your talent, because we're going to stand before God and give an account for what we did with what we had. Again, we are not bound to the curse of the law. We can't keep the law perfectly. No matter how much we give, we don't do it perfectly. But what we can do is recognize that we have been left here for a purpose, that we are stewards, and that we will be called into account for what we do. The beautiful thing is, and I think you alluded to this as well, is that we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So even when we stand in the greatest size, with people from every tongue and language and nation, we will thankfully not be dressed in the filthy self-righteous robes, but the spotless righteous robes of Jesus Christ. So not a righteousness of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Well articulated question. I love these questions where really the answer is sort of in the question itself. So you helped us all out. Thanks for your call. We're coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. And as we're in the habit of doing these days, the quote of the day. My quote of the day is actually going to be associated with the monologue that I gave. That's coming up right after the break. And as I mentioned, please stand with our ministry prayerfully and financially, because we simply cannot do what we do without you. It takes a team. Please join the team. Stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I have never seen a greater need, and we still, as a free country, have an opportunity to do things not only in America but around the world to make a difference. So again, stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments.
To know where everything came from is to know where we came from. And where we came from has everything to do with who we are. And who we are has everything to do with how we ought to live. Wise words from molecular biologist and intelligent design theorist Douglas Axe. Find out more about how cutting-edge science demonstrates why our intuition that living things are designed is absolutely correct in Dr. Axe's new book, Undeniable. How biology confirms our intuition that life is designed. Without exaggeration, Undeniable might be considered the best book ever written on intelligent design. receive the hardcover book, Undeniable, as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Have you ever thought that maybe living things appear to be designed because they are in fact designed by a creator for a purpose? In the book Undeniable, How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed, molecular biologist Douglas Axe argues that the key to understanding our origin is the design intuition. This is the common sense belief held by all humans that any task requiring knowledge in order to accomplish the task can be accomplished only by someone who has that knowledge. For the ingenious task of inventing life, this knower can only be God. Receive Undeniable, How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed, as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Other topics include mythicism and the public Jesus of history, logical and biblical defeaters of reincarnation and karma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. From our childhood, says biochemist Michael Behe, everyone directly grasps that life is designed, until they're talked out of it by a culture saturated with materialism. Find out more about how cutting-edge science demonstrates why our strong intuition that living things are designed is absolutely correct in Douglas Axe's new book, Undeniable, How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed. Receive the hardcover, Undeniable, as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. In concert with my opening monologue, I was thinking about the quote of the day as coming from the lips of the wisest man who ever lived. Obviously, I'm not in the equation counting Jesus Christ, who was Theanthropus, the God-man, but we're talking about Solomon, who said, "Listen, my son, be wise. Set your heart on the right path. Don't join those who drink too much wine or those who gorge themselves on meat. For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. I would say that Solomon is not saying that you can't have a glass of wine, as some traditions say you shouldn't, and I'm cool with that. But the point here is that you should not drink too much wine. You shouldn't become intoxicated, because when you become intoxicated, you will most certainly do things that you wouldn't do otherwise. But Solomon doesn't leave it with wine. He also talks about the body. I mean, there are a lot of obese preachers saying that wine is absolutely forbidden. A very well-known apologist says that you can't have wine touch your lips at all. And where Paul says to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach, he doesn't mean that you drink it. He actually means you're supposed to rub it on your stomach. I think that's a bit of a stretch. But the idea here is that we need to take care of both the physical and the metaphysical aspects of our humanity. Let's go back to the phone lines. Next up is Robin. She's listening in Sioux City, Iowa, Bot Radio. Hi, Robin.
Hi there, Hank.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your program.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to make a comment on the marijuana issue, and just like you were saying, you know, really, I think the key is moderation. Too often, I think we try to make laws to keep people from doing something that actually is a matter of free will, in my opinion. God gives us free will, and everything that He created has a purpose. But if we abuse it, of course, there's going to be responsibilities to deal with. But I think in not legalizing it, people are looking at it as a black and white issue, all or nothing. And many times, I know in my life, early on, I've used marijuana off and on for probably 40 years. But as I grew closer with God, the abuse went away. But there were times in my life where my mind was not a good place to be, and I would have rather have been in my heart. And it probably helped me through times that I may not have made it through. Since then, God has brought me closer to Him, and now I can look to Him for things, and He helps and guides me. But
yeah, that's great. I mean, you got to look to the right source. I mean, that's absolutely right. But we had to be careful with this word moderation, because sometimes we use it in an inappropriate fashion. Is there such a thing as moderation in dabbling in the occult? Is there such a thing as moderation in dabbling in pornography? Is there such a thing as moderation in lying or moderation in stealing? And we might as well say that it's okay to indulge moderately in sin that grace may abound. I mean, that would be a bit of a ridiculous statement. So we have to be very careful for how we use that moderation appended to certain practices. And I think the issue here with marijuana is that the psychoactive factor in marijuana is a very dangerous thing to dabble with. You've got a whole lot more experience at this than I do, practical experience, but it is a very, very, very seductive and dangerous thing to dabble with, because just a few puffs in certain people will put them in the state of high. And again, in that state, you're going to do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. I don't want to get too personal about this. In fact, I won't get personal at all about this, but appreciate your comments. Just be careful about that word moderation appended to the wrong things. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mark in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. He's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate your ministry. Two quick questions, if you have time. One is regards to John chapter 5, where the angel came and stirred the water at the pool of Bethesda.
Bethesda, yeah.
Sorry. And basically, whoever made it into water first was healed of whatever sickness they have. Now, is this a superstition? Did it really happen? I'm trying to get what's going on there.
Well, you know, the verse, there's no question whatsoever, the verse that is in question here in John 5, the second part of the third verse, was inserted by later scribes to explain most likely the reason that the water was being stirred. The reason I say that is there's no extant Greek manuscript prior to AD 400 that contains that particular insertion in the text. And it was probably added in a very reassuring way by a copyist who was familiar with the healing tradition in Bethesda. And in fact, if you look at verse 7, it would be a puzzling verse without verse 4. So verse 4 was probably added to explain verse 7, to give you a bit of a context. So the no nefarious thing going on here, and it doesn't change the intent of Scripture one iota. The point of the passage is that there is some sort of healing tradition surrounding the Pool of Bethesda, but in this context, Jesus is pointing to himself as the true healer, the true way in which we are healed. So you got to go to the right source. The source is not magic, potion, superstition. The real source is the Savior.
Okay. And then my second question, how would you define the difference between the two words soul and spirit? Because they kind of seem to overlap to a point.
Yeah, I mean, there are various traditions that do that in various ways. I mean, some say that the soul and spirit are different components of humanity, and therefore they would say that we look at a human in a trichotomous fashion, a body, a soul, and a spirit. Others would say, no, the soul and spirit are two aspects of the metaphysical aspect or the non-physical aspect of humanity. The soul, that which relates most specifically to what has God created, and the spirit to the Creator himself. So that's, again, a different variation on the same theme. So there are trichotomous and dichotomous. A trichotomous says the soul and spirit are different components. The dichotomous says the soul and spirit are part of is the same thing, just a different way of communicating, a different perspective, one with perspective to that which is created, the other with the intent of establishing connection with the Creator himself.
So is it your opinion that the soul and spirit are essentially the same? Because you've given me two different...
Right. I'm saying that there's diversity within the Christian community, and I think that there's latitude in this. This is a secondary issue. I think that it can be abused, the trichotomous view, certainly when you're in, let's say, the Word of Faith movement, because people there say that what can happen is you can get direct information that bypasses the mind and goes right into the spirit man, so you don't have to use the cognitive thinking process. And I think in that sense, it's a dangerous thing. But I often relate this to a semantical problem. I think when you have the extremes, as I just mentioned, there are dangers. But I personally have held that the soul and spirit are two different ways of speaking about the metaphysical aspect of humanity.
Okay, thanks. I was just asked that question. I wasn't quite sure how to answer it. I've always been of the opinion that we're basically body and soul, and when somebody asked me, well, what's the difference between body and soul, or sorry, spirit and soul, I wasn't quite sure how to answer that. But I appreciate your answer. Thank you.
Hey, you got it. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Todd. He's in Ithaca, New York, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Real quick question. It's going to be probably a tough answer for you, but I, you know, in a liberal college atmosphere where the buzzwords right now and the push are with diversity and cultural competence, as a Christian, you know, being able to express your opinion and not be shot down for being a bigot, for being a racist, for being whatever, because I don't agree necessarily with what is being talked about, how would you recommend, or what would be your advice for being able to have the conversation, but yet be true to what you believe and not, I guess, without obviously offending people, but at the same time, being honest about your faith?
I think people need to understand what they're actually saying by the words that they're using. Because what liberal diversity actually means is illiberal intolerance. I think that has to be pointed out to people. Liberal diversity maintains that Christians who proclaim and defend objective morality and truth, and that all people ought to embrace objective morality and truth, they're the ones that are made out to be intolerant and bigoted. In reality, I mean, if you look just in a common sense way at the world, it is not intolerant at all for someone to tell you that if you're standing on the top of the Eiffel Tower and you jump, gravity is going to ensure that you either get seriously injured, most likely that you're going to die. And basically what you're doing is you're communicating truth that corresponds to reality. And I think that it is not intolerant to do that. It is liberating to do that. In fact, I think it's intolerant to do the opposite, to force views on people without considering whether or not those views correspond to reality or whether or not those views are actually harmful, detrimental to them as human beings. So I think you have to think about what this liberal diversity actually means. It is code for illiberal intolerance. Illiberal intolerance. That's a phrase you might want to check out a little more deeply. I can't parse it any further on the show today because I'm flat out of time. Do want to let people know as I close up the broadcast in the next 19 seconds that it's critical that you stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. Check out the web. We've got some great resources for those who give. And if you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with us. We can't do it without you. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. The new Illustra Media film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth, transcends science to touch the heart and mind of anyone who has ever pondered the deepest mystery of human experience. Where did we come from? And why are we here? As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit online at equip.org. Equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirected natural processes must come to grips with this reality.
For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustra Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.